We turn in the Word of God to Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 20 and 21. Isaiah 26 and verse 20 and 21. Isaiah 26 verse 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Amen. Thus far we read the Word of God, and these are the verses we come to in our expositions of Isaiah. Our theme is closed in with God. Closed in with God. Every biblical text is of interest to God's people, because they are all the Word of God. Sometimes there can be an additional historical significance, and for covenanters it is so with these verses. Donald Cargill, the Scottish covenanter, preached on these verses at Dunsire at a communion season on July the 10th, 1681, 2 days before he was caught and hanged in Edinburgh on the 26th of July. Over 2 years later, the young James Renwick, in November 1683, having been ordained to the gospel ministry in the Netherlands by the Groningen classes or presbytery, and having returned to Scotland in the midst of the persecution, began his public ministry at Garmead, and deliberately took as his text this text in Isaiah 26, verse 20, thus showing that though Cargill had been put to death for the faith when he had preached on this passage, that he was taking up the same testimony and maintaining the same witness to the truth of God, that by the power of the grace of Christ in him, he was clearly owning the testimony of Cargill, who had been martyred for the faith, and declaring that what Cargill had stood for, he stood for as the truth of God. And Renwick, while still a young man, was ultimately caught and put to death in the Grassmarket in Edinburgh on the 17th of February, 1688. Cargill and Renwick lived in troubled times. We live in times that are becoming more troubled, and may become much more so in the not too distant future. It may well be that the people of God, if they are to be faithful to the Lord within this country, will be called upon to endure hardship for Christ's sake to a degree unknown within any of our lifetimes thus far. But the meaning of the text: Judah was already oppressed, but largely unmoved. There was much corruption and sin within Judah, and a time was coming when Jerusalem would be taken and Judah led into captivity in Babylon. When the Lord's indignation against his church would be evident, and the previous verses to our text, as you may remember, held out the prospect of a glorious future for the people of God, even ultimately resurrection glory. In verse 19, thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. But this is not yet. The glory to be revealed is future. And the more immediate prospect at this time was one of great trial and affliction for the Lord's people, as the Lord purged and purified his church by the hand of their enemies. It is to this that verse 20 refers. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast, that the faithful should find comfort in the midst of turmoil and affliction, and when the Lord is causing his church to pass through fire and water, because he will ultimately bring them to a wealthy place. Verse 21 looks to ultimate deliverance. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. When the Lord has used the wicked to correct and chasten and purify his church, then he will come in judgment. Now, to some extent, the Lord uses the wicked to purify his church in every generation. But ultimately, he will judge his and his church's enemies when he comes in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will judge, and this is telling the people of God to hide themselves in the in what are called the chambers. You see what that is in a moment. While God's chastening of his church takes place, in the sure knowledge that ultimately he will judge the world in righteousness. He will judge the wicked, including those who have shed innocent blood, that the earth, which at present seems to cover up that blood, will conceal it no more. So it says, the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Now this is timely for us. We are living in very strange times in this nation, and especially here in Northern Ireland. The wicked prosper. That is true generally. It is all the more true here, where murderers occupy high office, and the people, by and large, seem willing to have it so. And even the people of God are somewhat ambivalent about the situation. The church is oppressed, and oppressed particularly by means of what we might call issues concerning the God-ordained distinctions between male and female. Gender issues are becoming the engine of the state against the Lord's people. The so-called equality agenda, and it needs very little discernment to grasp this, is pushing the church against the wall. Failure to banish all role distinctions between male and female. Failure to accept the approved wisdom that homosexuality is a mere matter of blameless orientation, an acceptable alternative lifestyle. These things are becoming the great crimes, or viewed as the great crimes, in our society. And those who fail to fall in line and who express thoughts to the contrary are seen as needing awareness training and so forth. In the midst of this, this officially state-sanctioned moral squalor, the people of God are seeking to live godly in Christ Jesus and to train up their children in the truth of God. Watch. By an increasingly intrusive state set against the God of heaven. We must face it. Things could get much harder for the people of God. And we are living in a dream world if that has never occurred to us. No doubt the church is in need of purifying. It used to be a relatively undemanding thing here in Northern Ireland to profess to be saved. And many people professed to be saved. It didn't cost a great deal to make that claim. But the signs are that it is becoming more costly, and that it will yet become more costly. The church has been corrupted, not only by false profession, but by the true people of God being complacent. There has been a great deal of talk about the Bible, but precious little serious study of the Bible, and much less about following the Bible. For a long time, much of Ulster Protestantism has been an empty shell. All noise, but very little substance. And now that the pressure is beginning, that which is shell without substance is crumbling away. And the true people of God are under pressure. But who gave Jacob to the spoil and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned? We must submit ourselves to the providence of God and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and bear the indignation of the Lord, for we have sinned against him. And our text encourages us to do so. Firstly, the Lord's provision for his people in a time of his indignation. The Lord's provision for his people in a time of indignation. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. The text refers to chambers with doors to be closed after us, so that we are safe and secure from the storm outside. This tells us that the Lord has made provision for the people of God, that they should be secure and blessed, even in a dark day, and a day of blasphemy and reproach, a day when the wicked compass about the man that is more righteous than he, as Habakkuk puts it. He does not leave his people comfortless and with no refuge in a dark and cloudy day and in a day of trouble, a day of his indignation and his correction and purging and purifying of the church of God. There are chambers of refuge that can be entered into and doors closed till the storm passes. Secondly, the believer's refuge is in the truth of God. The believer's refuge is in the truth of God, or in God and his truth made known. The chambers, these rooms of shelter, are none other than God himself and the truth he has revealed in his word, believed and applied. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is saved. What does that verse in Proverbs mean? The name of the Lord, not just the sounds of the words by which we refer to him, but rather the name is all that he has revealed of himself. Names in Israel had meaning. Children were given names with meaning, and places were named with meaning. And the name of the Lord is that which he has revealed about himself. Now, God reveals himself in creation. His eternal power and Godhead are made known in the work of his hands. And in these things, his glory is revealed. But he is made known more clearly by far in his word, in the Holy Scriptures. That's why we read in Psalm 138 verse 2, Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. That is, that the Lord has through his word revealed his glory above all other ways that he has revealed himself. That his word, yes, his name is known in other ways, that is through creation and through his works, but the Lord's word sets forth his glory above all else. And in his word, he has revealed himself clearly and explicitly to the children of men. He speaks the things that are right. He says not unto the house of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. But he speaks truly, faithfully, uprightly, and tells us of himself. Here in the word, above all else, we learn of him. And not only so, not only has he told us concerning himself, the kind of glorious God that he is, but he has revealed much of his purposes, of his decrees, of what he will bring to pass. And moreover, he has given us exceeding great and precious promises also. Are we vexed then with the pride of the wicked? So we should be. The prosperity of the murderers, the power of the sodomites, which seems so great that many people are evidently nervous and afraid lest they offend them in any way. No doubt we are vexed, and we should be vexed. I saw the wicked and was grieved. And when we see the enmity to the true people of God, no doubt it troubles us, unless we've been going around oblivious, we cannot but be troubled. Rome can dodge and weave the so-called equality agenda and find a way through, but not the people of God. You see, the people of God must walk uprightly and truly and without equivocation, without deceit, without dishonesty. There is good reason to be vexed with those that swell in pride, and for our souls to be replenished with their contempt. But can we not hide in the truth of God, the truth of God's glory, the truth that God is the God of providence, and that He is sovereign over all, and that He restrains or unleashes the wicked at His pleasure, that the wrath of man shall praise Him, and the remainder of wrath He shall restrain, and that the wicked will do nothing to us but what our Heavenly Father has ordained, and that for our good. And furthermore, He will be glorified in His enemies, either in their salvation or in their damnation, but He will be glorified, just as He was glorified in Pharaoh, and so He will be glorified in the murderers and the sodomites and whatever. He will be glorified. He will either save them to the praise of the glory of His grace, so it shall be said of them, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Or else He will be glorified in their judgment, and His great justice will be displayed. But He will be glorified. So verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Is there not then, in the truth of God, a refuge for the believing heart in this day of the Lord's indignation, in this day of the haughtiness of the wicked? Is there not here in the Word of God, in these chambers, like both a fortress for safety and a palace for our comfort, to use the imagery of Donald Cargill? Do we wonder how we will ever get through, how we will get through what lies ahead of us, as things seem to be closing in upon the people of God? How will we get through it all personally? How will we persevere? How will we get by and reach the desired haven? And those who are parents of children, as we see these clouds, these storm clouds gathering, how shall we get through with our children and lead them in the ways of truth? Well, there are chambers of refuge. There are chambers of divine truth in which we must hide ourselves and close the doors about us. God is almighty. God is governing all. The Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and the government is upon His shoulders. He is all wise. He knows what's good for us. He's governing all for our interests. Christ is head over all things to the church and for the interests of the church. He is faithful and true. He tells us the truth. undeserving sinners as we are, he tells us the truth. He will not speak to us as a deceitful brute. Can we not then find a chamber of safety and solace in the knowledge of the almightiness of God, the wisdom of God, the omniscience of God, his knowing all things, the power of God, the grace of God, the truthfulness of God, the faithfulness of God? Does he not indeed provide for us in these things a palace in this weary wilderness? Has he said nothing to us? Has not our Lord Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? Is there not a promise of grace to help in time of need? Has he not given us his word and assured us that he is the one that giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength? Even the youth shall be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Does not the Lord give to us in his word a refuge for such a time? Isaiah 41:14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Is he not then able, and have you not reason to have confidence that he will care for you and for your little ones in this wilderness, until the indignation be overpassed? There are chambers of truth that are glorious. Hide then, come my people, hide thyself, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Hide in God and in his truth. Our life is hid with God in Christ. Hide in the truth of God. Oh no, don't hide away from the world. This is not telling us to hide away from standing our ground and upholding the truth in a wicked generation. We're not to flee to the monastery, but in the midst of it all, in the midst of the world, that standing for the truth of God, in a day when that truth is much despised and hated, in the secret place of the Most High, and in the refuge of his truth, as a little sanctuary in the desert, feeding on the manna which the world knows not of. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Psalm 37 tells us, fret not thyself because of evildoers, and because of him that prospers in the way of sin. But bear the indignation of the Lord till a better day dawn, either in this world or in the world to come. There is much glory in these chambers, much that we may comfortably dwell in until we are taken to the palaces of glory in the world to come. There are hindrances to finding the comfort of these chambers of divine truth. Unbelief, a bad conscience, continuing in known sin, these things hinder the comforts of the people of God in his truth. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus addresses a part of his church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. There is fellowship to be had with Christ. This supping together expresses fellowship, and we should seek that fellowship with all our hearts. And then thirdly, make much. We should make much of the word and prayer. That's our third thing. We should make, this is a day for making much of the word and prayer. There is no time, no kind of time in this world when we should be sluggish and negligent in the study of the Word of God and in seeking communion with God in prayer. There is no time suitable for such sluggishness and negligence, but especially not a time such as this. The reason we should study the Word of God is firstly because it is the Word of God, and it honors God to value His Word. But also, in a time such as this, above all times, we need to know the Word of God and to be strengthened in its truth. Every one of us should be a theologian. Every one of us should be stretched to our full capacity that God has given us in seeking to understand the Scriptures of truth, because they are the Word of God, and because we must find our chambers of refuge in this wicked generation in the truth of God. In an evil day, at a day of the Lord's indignation against His church, a day of purifying and of purging, we need truth heartily received by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need lots of it. Every jot and tittle of Scripture is precious and should be seized upon by it. The folly is that many think the exact opposite. They think times are getting rough. This is a time to abandon principles and look for the lowest common denominator. But the reverse is the need of the hour. We need to wholeheartedly embrace the Word of God in all things. We need truth heartily received by the power of the Spirit. Because this truth, in its glory, constitutes the palaces, the fortresses, the chambers of refuge for the people of God in a day of blasphemy such as ours. Believe the truth. Love the truth. Live according to the truth. Pray much according to the truth, to the God of this truth. Make Him and His Word your refuge. And you know, as we do so, we will begin not only to understand, but to acquiesce and agree with Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Our light affliction is but for a moment compared with that eternal weight of glory to be revealed. It's light compared with the weight of glory. It's for a moment compared with the eternal glory. It seems long, no doubt, no doubt, for those believers in captivity in Babylon. 70 years seemed long, and yet the Lord says, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast, and the Lord shall judge on behalf of his people. As we lay hold and love the truth, not for our entertainment, not for pride in intellect and knowledge, but as we heartily love the truth of God and the God who gave it, and as we realize those things concerning our peace and the riches of the glory of our inheritance in Christ Jesus, present afflictions will seem, by comparison, both light and short. It's our lack of understanding of the greatness of the glory to come that makes us think otherwise. And that's why we should search the Scriptures. That's why we should look for these chambers of refuge in the truth of Almighty God. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. The promises of God in Christ Jesus, in the crucified Redeemer who bore the sin of his people, the substitute for sinners, in that truth and in the God who gave it, there is an abundant, altogether sufficient refuge in the day of adversity, so that the people of God, with the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, may stand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee.
Amen.